movie. Seven pro-Palestine activists caught wind of the location of the film shoot and proceeded to loudly protest outside the site on numerous days, successfully disrupting the filming and imposing large costs on the production of the movie. Gadot, a former member of the Israeli military who took part in the 2006 aggression against Lebanon, is now a Hollywood actress using her platform to advance pro-genocide propaganda on behalf of the regime.
The seven activists were summoned to Westminster Magistrates Court last month. They faced charges of harassment and wrongfully and unlawfully obstructing access to a workplace after pressure was exerted on authorities by pro-Israel lobbyists in the UK. But on the eve of a major hearing on Tuesday, the accused had all charges dropped, with security forces saying that they would receive no further action.
The outcome represents a major victory for the activists, dubbed the Gal Gadot Seven, who in recent months have been facing heavy pressure from the British state, which critics say is acting on behalf of the Zionist lobby in the UK.
I think it's really important to stand up to these Zionist intimidation tactics to show them that A, it won't work, and B, you know, we always have to remember what we're doing this for. You know, we're doing this for the Palestinians, and, you know, it's a very small ask of me, for example, to forfeit 5% of my privilege so that a whole people don't have to lose everything.
The initial court hearing was adjourned due to Jewish extremists attempting to sit in the court's public gallery in order to learn of the activists' home addresses. Sadly for the extremists, they've been deprived yet again of an opportunity to gain key intelligence that would enable them to step up the campaign of intimidation against pro-Palestinian organisers that they're waging in collaboration with the British state.
They're doing this to discourage us, to showcase where they're failing as a state in Britain and across the world, because we are showcasing their flaws, and what we are doing is only right because we are showcasing the truth, because you can't hide it forever.
Critics have pointed to Gadot's wooden performances on the big screen, raising questions about nepotism and whether she's only been given high-profile acting roles in order to promote propaganda on behalf of the genocidal Israeli regime. In this case, the activists not only disrupted the film shoot but also successfully beat the trumped-up criminal charges they were faced with. Issa Kadhimi, London.
A diverse range of programmes. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Iran Radio. Here is a quick look at what's still to come on your favorite station. We've lined up more captivating programs, so be sure to stay with us. Coming up this hour is Q&A on Islamic beliefs. That will be followed by Kids Corner. The program is all about children and child's play, a fun program specially made for children. And later, stay tuned for Leader's Speech. Up next, Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Stay with us. We're honored to have you company.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. You might find it Q&A on Islamic Beliefs in our website, iranradio.ir. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Sheikh Karimi to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
So, how is constant expectation of Imam al-Mahdi's reappearance reconciled with the belief in five definitive signs? Sheikh Karimi, would you explain on this question for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very, technical question, and I would like our dear listeners to pay attention to this discussion today. Because, alhamdulillah, as Shia, we are waiting for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is the concept accepted by all Muslims. All Muslims are expecting for the Mahdi. And all the followers of divine religions, they are expecting for the Savior. Now, when it comes to the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, again, you see that from time to time we see some false claimants, mm-hmm. and unfortunately some lay people following those false claimants of Mahdism.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that everything that we need in the time of the major occultation or Al-Ghibat al-Kubra is explained in the narrations.
All right.
Now, one of the points which is of great significance is about the signs of reappearance, Alaimul Zuhur. And we know that according to the narrations, the signs of the narrations are divided into two categories, definite ones and indefinite ones. What is the difference? I will explain. So we know that one of the Islamic concepts in Kalam, in theology, is called Bada.
All right.
Some people have attributed only to the Shia, but the point is that it is something rooted in the verses of the Quran. Mm-hmm. So Bada is an Islamic concept.
Yes.
So it means that in some cases, God reveals to people something other than what they thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, people at the time of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, they thought that his elder son Ismail is the next Imam.
Okay.
But later, Bada happened, mm-hmm. meaning that God revealed to people something that they didn't think that it would happen. Ismail died,
mm-hmm.
and Imam Kazim alayhi salam became the Imam.
All right.
Or, for example, it's been recorded in the tablet of Mahw al-Ithbat that you are going to live, for example, for 40 years.
All right.
Then you do something good, your life span increases.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Bada, which is
right.
accepted by all Muslims.
Okay.
Now, the question is that when it comes to the signs of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam mentioned in the narrations, will Bada happen regarding these signs or not? For example, we have in the
first of all, what are the signs?
I will mention
the five signs. That's right.
Okay. Before going to those five signs, the question is that will Bada happen to a sign or not? For example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, for example, says that one of the signs of the reappearance is a flood in Euphrates, for example.
All right.
So if Bada happens, means that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappeared without that sign happening
mm-hmm.
at all.
All right.
Okay.
That's right.
So that is why we have in the narrations that there are two categories of the signs, definite ones and indefinite ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is exactly related to the concept of Bada.
So Bada is full stop of the events which is going to take place?
It may happen.
It may happen or it could be changed?
The details might change.
Might change indeed. That's
for example,
right.
flood in Euphrates, then it might be flood in Tigris, for example.
That's right.
Or the month which is mentioned in the narration may change.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
All right.
So that is why the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam themselves, they have divided these signs into two categories. Alaim mahtumat, the definite signs, and alaim ghayru mahtumat, the indefinite signs. And which means that when it comes to definite signs, then bada or change will not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that is the importance of people coming to know about these five signs, definite signs. According to Shia scholars and the famous narrations of the Ahlul Bayt, for example, when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, قبل قيام القائم خمس علامات محتومات. Before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, there would be five definite signs, meaning that for sure these signs will happen before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? The uprising of Yamani, the uprising of Sufyani, Sayha, the heavenly call, Qatl al-Nafs al-Zakiyya, the murder of a person called Nafs al-Zakiyya, and Al-Khasfa wal-Bayda, a group of the army of Sufyani will be swallowed up in a land called Bayda in the Arabian Peninsula. When it comes to indefinite signs, there are many mentioned in the narrations, for example, a solar eclipse in the middle of the month of Ramadan, the murder of a king called Abdullah, a lunar eclipse toward the end of the month of Ramadan, the kind of damage in Basra, the damage of the wall of the Kufa mosque, the struggle between three groups in Sham, Syria, the Euphrates flood, and for example, a war between Armenia and Azerbaijan, and so on and so forth.
All right.
We have talked about these signs in other programs and other sessions, so I'm not going to go to that topic. So the question now is that, as I mentioned, will Bada happen to definite signs or not? The famous idea among the Shia scholars is that when the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam themselves, they have mentioned that we have two categories of the signs, Mahtumat and Ghayru Mahtumat. It means that then Bada will not happen regarding the Mahtumat, regarding the definite signs. So, for example, if Sufyani is considered as a definite sign for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, then for sure it will happen before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. For Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said, إِنَّ خُرُوجَ سُفْيَانِ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ الْمَحْتُومِ. The uprising of Sufyani is mahtum, is definite, for sure it will happen. Or قَتْلُ النَّفْسِ الزَّكِيَّ مِنَ الْمَحْتُومِ. This is the viewpoint of, the majority of the Shia scholars.
Right.
And they argue that the very fact that we have two categories of the signs, refer to the fact that there is no Bada in the definite signs. The other idea is that no, still we might have Bada even in definite signs. Some Shia scholars believe in this. Now, going back to the main question, we have these narrations referring to the fact that before the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, we have five definite signs.
Yes.
Without them, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will not come. On the other hand, we have the narration, for example, Tawakkul Faraja Sabahan wa Masa'an. Wait for the reappearance in the morning, in the evening, meaning that, and other narrations refer to the fact that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come in a time that people may not expect the Imam to come. That is why each time we need to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is that it seems that these two are contradicting. We have definite signs, which means that Imam will not come before their happening. On the other hand, the fact that Zuhur may happen at any time.
And the signs are, we can say that you are referring to some of them, are very much the same as everyday natural disasters that are taking place.
Yeah, that is why, one of the questions
we cannot, at the end of the day, we can't say, understand and recognize, is this the very same
That's
sign?
That's a very good point that you mentioned, and we have discussed in the last Savior about the criteria for applying applying the signs to today's events. And we have discussed about those criteria. And I believe that when it comes to the five different signs that I mentioned, the issue is very clear. The uprising of a person called Yamani with all the features, and then Sufyani, As-Sayha, the heavenly call, which is a miracle, all these can lead the people. So there is no need, for people to go to indefinite signs and applying them. When it comes to definite signs, they would help. Now, going back to the main question, are these two contradicting each other? First of all, as I mentioned, some Shia scholars they believe that Bada may happen also in the definite sign. So if you agree with this, then there is no contradiction, which means that even for definite signs, Bada may happen, Imam may come without those five signs to happen, which means that, I mean, there is no contradiction. Anytime Imam Mahdi alayhi salam may reappear.
All right.
But if we go with the famous idea that there is no Bada in the definite signs, how can we solve these two issues? The point is that what is mentioned in the narrations as, the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam at any time, and the fact that Tawakkul Faraja Sabahan wa Masa'an, this is referring to the process of reappearance,
mm-hmm.
not the very coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
That's right.
Okay. And this process, will last at most, maybe less than 10 months,
mm-hmm.
less than 1 year. I mean, the realization of all these different signs and the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they are, interconnected and will happen very close to each other, mm-hmm. right?
So in the shortest span,
yeah.
all of them will be together.
Yeah, exactly.
So that the recognition of the true time of reappearance will
That's
be clear
the point.
For the people. That's right.
So
okay.
When the narrations talk about the fact that these, the concept of Faraj may happen at any time, and you may expect that in the morning, in the evening, it is referring to the process of reappearance, and this process includes those definite signs.
All right.
Okay? So which means that at any time, people may see Yamani, Sufyani, and at the beginning of this process, and within a short span, within few months, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come.
Okay.
Okay, so there is no contradiction. This is one point, one answer given to this. And the other point is that the narrations talking about tawakka'u, the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is referring to the eagerness of the people,
uh-huh.
not the point that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam may come in this very morning. It means that each and every time show your
intizar, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
That you are interested in the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, mm-hmm. you are preparing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a kind of metaphor. I mean, sometimes, for example, your beloved is in a journey. You know that he or she will come back to you after 1 year, okay?
Right.
Although you know that, but every morning you are waiting for him or for her coming back to you. And this is showing your love for him or for her, right?
All right.
The same can be mentioned regarding the narrations of Tawakka wal Faraja Sabahan wa Masa'an. It means that wait for the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Although you know that it might happen within a few months from now, but show your love, show your interest, and wait for the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, which is, also a factor for people getting prepared for the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
So these are two main answers given to this very good question.
All right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this concept. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
How is constant expectation of Imam al-Mahdi's reappearance reconciled with the belief in five definitive signs? It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atal, the host of the program, and Sheikh Karimi. For more information and also to download for free our other episodes, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran. لبني علي وحسين وحسن لي علي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا
You raise your tired hands toward the sky, and the dark night lights up as you praise God. Your tears rain on your hijab and this cold air is filled with the fragrance of jasmine flower. Come and walk again in our troubled streets and lanes, and heal the scars of our city with your sense of heaven. Oh, Father, and you give him your necklace and the only food in your home. You talk to God until the rising of the sun, and you forget yourself while praying for everyone.
Assalamualaikum.
Welcome, kids.
Hey, man.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hi.
My brothers, my sisters, and all of my gentle friends, this is a song that I have learned. Let's sing it to
welcome
the
to
end.
Kids Corner. And you know, you're not going to go wrong when you're at Kids Corner.
We say assalamualaikum, walaikum assalam.
Assalamualaikum, dude.
Assalamualaikum, walaikum assalam.
You're listening to Brother Ali at Kids Corner. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Right, good job, mashallah, you guys are doing it. Ah, good question, good question. I'm about to answer that question.
Our children
Kids Corner. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله طيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Welcome dear listeners.
Hello.
Hi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, and this is Brother Ali at Kids
Corner.
Yeah. Welcome everyone.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Come to the masjid. Come to the masjid. Wash and pray. Wash and pray. These are the things that will keep the devil away.
We were talking about sitting etiquette in the last few sessions, actually, huh? Okay, in the last session, I don't know if you guys remember, what did we talk about in the last session?
We shouldn't sit somewhere
where haram is
being done.
Okay, so we should not sit. No, if we sit there, then we try to change them. We say, you know what? Don't do this. For example, they're sitting and talking bad about people. They're backbiting. They're gossiping. Or, God forbid, they're slandering. Okay? Or making fun of other believers.
No!
So, you know what? This is haram. Don't do this, please, you know? We're brothers. We should not be talking bad about others. Backbiting is haram. Blah, blah, blah. You say this, and suppose they listen to you. Say, thank you, Hashim. Or thank you, Samaya. Very good. I really appreciate it. We didn't know this. And they stop. Guess what? You brought a change. Right? You can sit there with them because they listen to you. They say, oh, forget it, man. I'm just going to, oh, come on. Stop that. We're just having fun, you know? You're such a party pooper. Something like that. Say something like that. You can just stand up politely and leave. Okay? Don't sit with them. Because you tried your best and it didn't change them. Correct? Okay. This is another saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, do not hasten to occupy the highest spot in the gathering. For a seat which you are promoted to is better than one you are demoted to. Do you guys get it? Okay. The seat you are promoted to is better than the one you're demoted to. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It means that. I don't know.
Okay, no problem. You tried. It's hard. It is tough. Some people love to go and occupy an important seat. They go in a gathering and say, yes, I'm going to go and
yes.
sit there.
If we sit in a, for example, the seat that we're promoted to, for example, if it's in the back seats,
uh-huh. an ordinary seat,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
then we're promoted because we're not sitting because we're not being proud. Because if it's in the front, we're saying I'm better than them, I should sit in the front.
Uh huh. That's good. That is one of the things we talked about earlier. But here, Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying, do not occupy the highest spot in the gathering. For a seat you are promoted to is better than the one that you are demoted to. I'll give you an explanation of this, inshallah. Some people love to go and occupy the most important seats. Like, yes, I'm just going to go and sit there. That seat is empty. Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying, don't do that. Why? Because suppose I go and occupy an important seat, but I don't deserve that seat. It's reserved for someone else. Right? So the host comes and says, you know, excuse me, brother, can you please go and sit somewhere else because this seat is reserved for someone. So now I'm being demoted, right? I was there, I'm being demoted. Now, for example, now a big scholar, okay, comes and sits at an ordinary place. Just sits, you know, wherever he gets a place, he just sits. The host comes and, oh my God, you're sitting here? No, please, you must come and sit up here. No, no, I'm fine here. No, 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 you must come. And he takes him and tells him to sit on an important place, right? In an important seat. That is, he's being promoted. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying that do not hasten to occupy the highest spot in the gathering, for a seat which you are promoted to is better than the one you are demoted to. Make sense now? Does it? Okay. All right. Now, Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam, which Imam was he? Which
ninth.
Number?
11th.
11th Imam. There you go. Yes, you're right.
Way to go!
And he was the father of who?
Imam Al-Mahdi.
Imam Al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his return. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Okay, the Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam, the one who is satisfied with the place where he is sitting, but he deserves to be sitting at a better place or more important place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels send blessings upon him as long as he sits there. Wow. Did you get the saying now? What is Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam trying to say here?
He's saying that if we sit
in an ordinary place.
Yeah, ordinary place. Then.
But we deserve to sit at a very important place. You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we sit in an ordinary place, but we decide not to sit where the
important people are.
Important people are. Mm-hmm. Then the angels are blessing us the whole time.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels will send blessings upon them as long as they sit there. For example, Hashim goes in. Hashim is a big shot. He's a big scholar, for example, right? He goes and he just sits at the first spot he sees, an ordinary place. He just sits there. Even though he deserves to be sitting up there somewhere. Huh? He just sits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels send blessings upon him as long as he sits there. Isn't that amazing? What do we learn from this hadith? What do we learn?
That means if we sit in an ordinary place, but we deserve to sit high up or
important
here,
place.
Yeah.
Very good.
Allah sends blessing to that person for long that he sits there.
Now, what do we learn from this hadith?
We learn.
Very good.
How important, how much is liked by Allah to be humble.
Very good. Yeah, that is the answer. That Islam teaches us to be humble. This person who deserves to be sitting up at an important place and he sits at an ordinary place and he deserves to be sitting at an important place, right? This tells us that he is humble. And Allah loves the ones who are humble. Allah hates the people who are arrogant. Okay? So Islam promotes Islam basically discourages arrogance and promotes being humble and etc.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
The Prophet and the Imams have encouraged sitting in certain types of gathering. Okay? And they are, number one, the beautiful saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. He says, stay long in the gardens of heaven. And they asked, O Messenger of Allah, what are the gardens of heaven? And he said, gatherings where Allah is remembered. What a beautiful saying, huh? So when one sits in a gathering where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered, it is like he is sitting in the gardens of heaven. Amazing, isn't it? The gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered are the gatherings where people do not sin, obviously. Because they're remembering Allah, they will not sin. And this means they are involved in the dhikr of Allah. They're remembering Allah. They're doing tasbih. They're reciting Quran. Or they're talking about tafsir of Quran. Okay? Or talking about the hadith of the ma'asumeen, alayhimus salam. Right? And they're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing this. And also, probably means a gathering where Allah is remembered. This probably means that they do not backbite. This gathering is, there are a group of people sitting, they're having a good time, but they're not backbiting. Okay? And they are not slandering anyone. And they're not making fun of the other brothers. They're not doing anything haram or forbidden. Then, in essence, they are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we sit there also, it's like we're sitting in the garden of heaven because they're not sinning at all. Make sense? Okay. So, what do you learn from this hadith now?
That we should sit in the gatherings where Allah is remembered, because it means that we are sitting in the gardens of heaven.
Beautiful. Good job. Yes. So if you're sitting with them, then it's like we're sitting in the gardens of heaven. Who said this? The Holy Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
And we also learned that Allah is constantly being remembered in heaven.
There you go. And earth also. No. You know, everything in Surah Jummah, what is it?
يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ.
Everything in this universe is remembering, is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we know it or not. And there's a whole different chapter, we can talk about it later, inshallah.
Where are you going? Where are you going? North, south, east, or the west? Where are you headed? Oh, where are you headed? Turn to Allah, that's the best. 'Cause He is there wherever you are. So turn, turn, turn to Allah. Allahu, Allahu, Jalla Jalalahu. Allahu, Allah, Jalla Jalalahu. Allahu Akbar, Jalla Jalalahu.
Another hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He says, gatherings are of three kinds. Three kinds of gathering or assemblies are of three kinds. Profitable, safe, and blameworthy. The profitable one is where, then the Prophet explains. He says, the profitable one is that wherein Allah the Exalted is remembered, that we just talked about. The safe one is that in which is silent, basically. The safe one is that which is silent. And the blameworthy one is the one that engages in sins. In sins. In vice. In haram. Okay? Three kinds of gatherings. That's all there is. Three kinds of gatherings. Okay? Profitable. The prophet is basically, what is he doing? He's doing, encouraging us to sit in a gathering where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. Okay, because it is profitable for us. We will gain something out of it. This kind of gathering is definitely profitable, so we should sit in these kind of gatherings. It is because the Prophet says it. We are going to profit from it, we're going to gain from it, then we should sit in these kind of gatherings. And the gatherings that are silent are safe, because in this type of gatherings, people are not mocking at each other. or making fun of others. They're quiet, meaning they're not backbiting, they're not slandering, nothing. They're not making fun, or they're not making evil plans. They just, you know, they're not making, it's silent. So it's safe, it's okay, you can sit there. The blameworthy gathering are those where people sin, and we should stay away from these gatherings. Definitely, stay away from them. So, what do we learn from this hadith of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? That. What do we learn?
We learn.
Okay, all right. I get something. All right.
We learn that where we the meetings we the gatherings we go to are important, and that we should be careful what kind of gathering we go to.
Very good. I sense we should be careful. Another important thing that we learn from this is, you know, if we are smart and we choose the right gathering, we can profit from it. We can gain from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us intellect, right? So he says, okay, Prophet is saying, there are some gatherings that are profitable, some are safe, and some are really bad. That's blameworthy. Okay? So we have the intellect. We can choose. We are smart. Allah has given us the intellect, aql. So when we see a gathering that is doing haram, stay away from it. When we see a gathering that is just quiet, you know, no problem, it's safe, you can go there. But we should, because Allah has given us the intellect, we should go to a gathering that is profitable for us in this world and the hereafter. So we go to a gathering that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. See, there's a saying of the Holy Prophet, and he said, a true friend is one. When we look at him, he reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he opens his mouth, when he says something, when he speaks, when he says something, he increases our knowledge. Our knowledge increases. And when he acts, he reminds us of the day of judgment. Okay? So, when we are looking for these gatherings, look for this kind of gathering, where Allah is being remembered. Inshallah, we're going to continue talking about sitting in the next session. Until then, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Yahoo!
Salaam alaikum, brothers and sisters. Here's Sister Batul again with a wonderful story.
It's story time.
Once a child was walking in the forest,
going to the left and then the right.
So impressed, he pondered the sight,
seeking to discover the hidden secret.
Keep yourself tuned in here with Sister Batul.
Well, let's go.
It's story time, story time.
Salaamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Today's story is about a dog. One day, a hungry dog walked down the street of a town. As he passed a butcher's shop, he noticed a bone with plenty of meat on it in the shop window. Seeing that the butcher was nowhere in sight, the dog slipped into the shop. Quickly, he grabbed the bone and ran out again. The dog decided to go far away to enjoy the bone. He did not wish to risk the butcher catching him. As he went along, he soon reached a stream. Then as he crossed the little bridge that ran over it, he happened to glance over the side into the water, that is the stream. The dog was greatly surprised, for down in the water, staring up at him, you know what did he see? He saw another dog with a large, juicy bone in his mouth. The bone was bigger than the one he was carrying. The dog did not fail to notice this. At once, the dog decided to get the other bone as well. So he opened his mouth to bark at the other dog in order to frighten him into handing over the bone. But alas, as he did so, the bone he himself carried fell into the water and sank out of sight. Now, as the dog looked again, he noticed that the dog in the water had no bone either. Too late, he realized he had been seeing his own reflection. Now, for being so greedy, he would have to remain hungry after all. I hope you enjoyed the story. And think about the moral in the story, brothers and sisters. I shall be back again. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Lessons of the ayat.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
Lessons of the ayat. Inshallah, we'll recite some ayahs and we'll see what the lessons we get from them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to Lessons from the Ayat. Inshallah, in this session, we'll talk about ayah number 8 of Surah Al-Zilzal. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And he who has done an atom's weight of evil shall see it. So this ayah is talking about the Day of Judgment, when we will see whatever we did, big or small, good or bad. We will see everything we did in this world. It will be like a video of our life history will be played, and we will see whatever we did in this world. So we learn from this ayah that we should even pay attention to the smallest of deeds. Some of us do not care about the small sins we commit, and we think that they're really small. But this ayah is telling us to better watch out, because even the small, tiniest deeds are going to be accounted for the Day of Judgment. Some of us, we make fun of others or might say something that might hurt others without even thinking twice. We deem these deeds as minor deeds, but we better watch out, because Allah says that all the deeds will be counted. Some of us, we commit little sins and think that this was just a minor baby sin. And we should know that these minor baby sins will add up, and also there is no guarantee that the sins that we deem to be minor turn out to be minor. No, maybe they are big sins in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you say something to your mu'min sister and you end up hurting her feelings, then you better watch out, dude. Or another example, you are standing and you see a baby ant passing by and you kill it, pah, you smush it, okay? And they ask you the reason, you say, nothing, it was just for fun. So, yes, it looks like a small deed because you just smushed a small baby ant, but this act of yours will definitely displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah created everything and He will not be pleased when you kill an ant for no reason. For example, you yourself draw a picture and you show it to your friend, and your friend tears it, the picture. Will that make you happy? Of course not, because you did so much hard work and you made a nice picture yourself and you gave it to your friend, and your friend did not value it and she teared it into pieces. She tore it into pieces in front of your eyes. Obviously, you'll be sad. So that's why Allah will be sad too when you, without any reason, kill its creations. So we should remember that all our deeds, good or bad, big or small, all of them will be counted in the day of judgment. So we should watch out to do all the good deeds and stay away from all the bad deeds. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
I am a Muslim, dedicated, keen on being educated. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged. Need I am and well behaved.
See you next time, same time, same channel.
Best of the apostles, he is the greatest of prophets.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
The following is part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khamenei, in a meeting with organizers of the International Conference in commemoration of Ayatollah Mirza Muhammad Hussein Naini, Rahmatullah Alayh. The meeting took place on October 22nd, 2025. There was a time when the late Mr. Naini filled all of Najaf with his discourse and thought, but over time he was almost entirely forgotten in the realm of scholarly work, thought, and academic renown, and little attention was paid to him. The late Agha Najafi was his son-in-law who lived in Hamadan. He was a part of the family and had witnessed this personality. He described Mirza Naini's night prayer, the state he was in during them, his humility, his supplications, and his deep spiritual state. These things existed, and of course, it is these very things that help one find the right path, move along that path, and achieve results. We hope that God willing, this very interesting gathering of yours, whether it's held in Qum, Najaf, or Mashhad, will be successful. It's good that you've also organized efforts in Mashhad. The late Mr. Milani, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Hadi Milani, truly revived Mr. Naini's name in Mashhad. This is because what was most prevalent in Mashhad, due to the presence of the late Aghazadeh, the son of the late Ahund Khorasani, was the thoughts of Ahund. Of course, after the late Mirza Mahdi Isfahani, who was one of the distinguished students of the late Mirza Naini, came to Mashhad. He broke the dominant hold of Akhund's ideas by introducing Mr. Naini's discourses, which contained new ideas, new arguments, and new lines of reasoning. My late father, who had studied under both Mr. Agha Zadeh and the late Mirza Mahdi Isfahani for years, used to say that when Mirza Mahdi came to Mashhad, the entire intellectual atmosphere regarding the topic of Usul in Mashhad, where the ideas of the late Akhund were prevalent, had completely changed. However, after the late Mirza Mahdi's passing, Mr. Naini's name was no longer mentioned. Mr. Milani would quote the ideas of the late Mr. Naini, discuss them, sometimes even critique them, but more often affirm them. In any case, you did the right thing by establishing a branch in Mashhad as well, and as for Najaf, well, that goes without saying. I hope that God willing, Almighty God grants you all success and your actions will be accepted. May God's greetings, mercy, and blessings be upon you.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
You are with Iran Radio, and here are some interesting facts about Islam. Let's listen to it. Every Muslim tries to visit Mecca at least once in his or her lifetime. This special visit is called a Hajj. Typically, more than 2.5 million pilgrims visit Mecca during the annual Hajj pilgrimage. Islamic law divides food and other products into three different types. One is halal, which are foods that you are allowed to eat. The other one is makruh, or foods that may be eaten but that are discouraged. And haram, or forbidden foods, such as pork, meat of carnivorous animals, and anything that causes addiction, such as alcohol. Prophet Muhammad left Mecca and traveled to Medina in 622 AD. This event is called the Hijra migration. The Hijra marked the starting point of the Muslim calendar, and years are counted from this event. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. For this hour, we'll start with news. Following the news, join us for today's special. Then we dive into a curated selection from our finest radio productions. Stay tuned. News is coming up next.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The Israeli military keeps violating the Gaza ceasefire by launching artillery and airstrikes on various locations in the besieged Palestinian territory. New York City's mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani slams Washington for militarily and financially supporting the Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. And the Russian president voices Moscow's readiness for resumption of talks to end the conflict with Kyiv. Putin warns that without peace talks, Ukraine risks losing all out.